put markers, and we're going to do John today. So we're going to do Big John. I want you to put a marker in John 8 and Little John. And you can just, 1 John chapter 1 is good enough. Now I want to give you a little bit of a introduction. This is maybe a road sign. You know, when you're on a journey, every now and then it's good to check the map. Yep, I'm on the right path here. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and I didn't write this verse down. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Isn't that right? Now, so let's just shorten that down to this. The gospel is the power of God. We read in the book of Acts what all happened in that first century when the gospel was fresh in the minds of the apostles and everything was new. And do we see the power of God on display? Everywhere you look, you see it on display. Now, my thesis, my postulation, I told you I am an engineer, I just don't act like it. My theorem for today is this. If we're not seeing the same power, it's because we're not preaching the same gospel. And what's going on at the church right now, please, I know that what Nathan is teaching and Alan and myself and everybody, what we're endeavoring to do is raise the bar. Not above anything. We're just trying to raise it back to where it was when Jesus delivered it to us. And we're just, now, sometimes that bar, you look at it, you think, I can never get there. Dear Lord, that is so far. But that's not the gospel of God. See, if you start dropping the bar, and that's what's happened over 2,000 years now, let's just tell it like it is. It has been watered down and lowered and modified and mingled with the mind of man till you can hardly, I don't think that John, if he walked into most churches today, I don't think he could sit through a service without standing up and saying, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's sad, and I hope he wouldn't do it here. But we're endeavoring to do that, and I know it grates on us. It's a little tough sometimes. I mean, even I squirm a little during some of Nathan's services. But I get something out of them, and I can feel a raising of the bar. Now, how many of you know that under the old covenant, if you were a Jew living under the old covenant, let's just take anything. Just, if you do this sin, you die. Do you respect God's law? Do you honor God? You might even say you love God. But if you commit that sin, which means more to you? But you don't have to answer. Think about it. If you're the one that committed that sin and you're going to be stoned, which means more to you, the law or the Lamb? It's the Lamb. You respect the law. Trust me, you love that Lamb. That Lamb saved your life. In a way, you could say that Lamb was your Savior. Amen? Well, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. But what God's, we're never going to do away with God's law. God gave us more than just a sacrifice for sin. He gave us the life of the Lamb to walk above sin. Now, that's the gospel that's not been heard much in this generation. So we're on this journey right now of raising the bar. Don't get discouraged. Don't look at the pure word of God, the best we know how to teach it. We're raising that bar, and Paul says we are all supposed to press toward that mark. The biggest mistake you can make is stop pressing. Give up. See, that's why Dave would say he'd kill me one week and rescue me the next. You know, I'd smoking like a freight train. In my mind, I couldn't get free. But according to Gospel 101, the very day I got born again, I was free. But my soul didn't know that. My soul did not know that. And through all, and okay, I know I'm not going to make excuses for myself. I was free from the day I got born again. See, there's the bar. You can't lower that bar. Now, thank God for His mercy. Dave would kill me. He'd say, I mean, Sue and I couldn't even sit through one service. We'd sneak out. Everybody saw us walk out. We'd walk right down over where the little hill, you know, it kind of goes down a little bit over there where you can't see us, and we'd smoke. You know, couldn't even make it through one service. About 20 minutes at a time is all we could stand. Sometimes I'd have to go twice in a service. You know, feel like a sheep eating dog. Dave's probably teaching on being free from sin when we walked out. Go down there, puff, puff, puff. You know, Sue is spraying me with Febreze all the way back to the church. You know, pachew. She had one of those, you know, pachew bottles in her purse. And Febreze is dripping out my left ear. And she's still pachew. And I'm going, baby, they can still smell it on us. I don't care. Pachew, pachew, you know. Come back in here, sitting there. And David go, are you going to let a little 3-inch cigarette control your life? Are you going to let it dominate you, you child of God? And I'm sitting there going, yeah. At least right now, I guess I am. I'm just, oh God. And, you know, and the sad truth. See, but you got to remember, now I'm not blaming anybody, but the sad truth of it is I had had a lot of help from preachers my whole life growing up, telling me you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Now, I was indoctrinated from the time I was a little boy. You cannot. They would preach not sinning, and then the very next thing out of their mouth is, you can't stop sinning because you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And no more damnable doctrine ever was preached to a Christian. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. But I did not know that, see? And I should have. It's in the Word. I'm not making excuses, but I'm just telling you how it was. Anyway, Dave would kill me. Ow! Yes, I'm letting the 3-inch little cigarette control my life. I'm no good. I'm a worm. I'm a slime. I should never come to church again. You understand? I should just give up. God, I had that thought 1,000 times. I'll just be God's smoking child. But see, you could say that about fornicating child. You could say that about gossiping child. You could say that about drunken child. See, don't give up and don't lower the bar. Press towards the mark. And that's really what Dave was saying. He said it more gentle than that. Because the next week he'd say, he'd rescue me. Here, I feel like a sheep eating dog, Pastor Dave said. Next Sunday, God will walk through hell with a man, with his faults. As long as that person keeps doing those things that will one day spell out his freedom. It's not that it would one day set me free. I was already free, but I didn't know that. If you don't know it, there is a renewing of the mind. Amen? So we're still going through that. Now, I'm free from that, thank God. You know what I'm not free of? Oh boy, here it comes. No, it's not going to tell you what you hope I'm going to tell you. I'm not free of failure every time I pray for the sick. I'll be honest, that's my main mark I'm pressing toward right now. That's my main mark. Now, there's other things, of course, but that's the main thing I'm pressing toward because I know Jesus 100%. 100%. Well, there's the mark. Don't lower it. Don't start making excuses. Don't listen to a bunch of, can you say, no, I better not say that word, to a bunch of lies by preachers on TV or anywhere else that tell you it's not always the will of God to heal. Yes, it is. I only know one way to know the will of God, and that's to look at Jesus Christ, my Lord, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and He healed them all. You can take your false doctrine and go down the road. I'm done with you. I ain't sending you no money either. So I'm here. So can you understand that road? We're on a journey. This is a mile marker. I don't know what mile marker we're at, but we are on the right path. The gospel is the power, and that's dunamis, the raw power of God unto salvation. We are those that will believe it. Amen? Amen. All right. John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 12. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, in context, You have to remember what just happened, and I'm not going to teach on this because you've heard the story many times, but just back up two verses. This is the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, caught in the very act. You know, that was a setup. That was a trap. It's very telling that they didn't bring the man, because they're both supposed to be stoned. But anyway, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, now this is the woman caught in the very act. She is an adulteress. Okay. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, in that context, if you see her walking away, she just had the command, go and sin no more. Well, that's what God always says. That's what he told Adam and Eve. He told them what sin was for them. Sin for them is if they eat of that tree. That's the word of God to them. So he might as well have said, okay, here is sin. Sin not. Couldn't he have said that? When he gave the law to the Jews, he spelled out what sin was. And he says, keep this, and by keeping this law, you will sin not. He has said that ever since the fall. But Romans 7, there's the guy that wants to keep the law. He loves God. He wants to keep the law. But every time he tries to keep it, he says, I find another law working in my members. It's that law of sin and death. And when I want to do good, I don't wind up doing that. And when I don't want to do that evil thing, that's the thing I do again. And he's just in agony at the end of that chapter. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then that brings us into the glorious chapter 8. Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. See? That's the gospel of God. That's the power of God unto salvation. God didn't just give us a law. He empowered us to keep the law. Amen. He put the law in our hearts, wrote it in our minds, in our hearts, and he empowered us by his life to keep it. So in the context here, when he's... If you can get the woman with caught in adultery, she doesn't have that life. She's just like every other fallen person from Adam till then, except Jesus. And he says, go and sin no more. Or let's just say, sin not. Don't sin. Just don't sin. And we're looking at her walking off going, oh, she's going to sin again. Isn't that right? Just like everybody else. But Jesus makes an astounding statement here. In that light, he says, now here you see her walking off. She's probably very thankful. She thought she was going to be stoned. She's very thankful to the Lamb. Can I say it that way? Even though she probably doesn't know he's the Lamb. But he rescued her, didn't he? She's thankful. She loves him. She appreciates it. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how much she loves him, she's going to sin again. Isn't that true? But Jesus makes an astounding statement here. And you talk about raising the bar. He's looking at her walking off. I'm just sure he's watching her, knowing the nature that she has. But then he makes this astounding statement. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, would you call walking in adultery walking in darkness? That's what he's talking about. Keep it in the context. What he's saying is, those that follow me, they're not going to walk in darkness like her or like all the human race from the fall of Adam till now. Because I'm going to give you something that you do not presently have. I'm going to give you the light of life. Amen. Now, he might as well have said, the life that's on the inside of me, I'm going to make it possible for you to have that same life on the inside of you. And it will be your light to walk by. And as you walk by that light, you will be able to go and sin no more. Now that's raising the bar. I don't know anybody that's 100% walked there, but let's not lower the bar. And just By two or three witnesses, let everything be established so that you know that's what he's talking about. Continue on in John chapter 8. We're in the same chapter, the same flow of thought. And we come down to, he just got through saying in verse 12, if you, let's see, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at verse 31. If you continue in my word, is that not another way of saying he that follows me? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In other words, you're going to be like me. A disciple is one that studies to become like the person they're studying. That's pretty good. Anyway. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But they didn't understand it. They're saying, they're thinking politically free. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. I beg to differ. Let's see now. Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh. Anyway, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And so they can't misunderstand what he's talking about. This is still in the context of the woman in adultery. Let's say it this way. It's still in the context of sin. He says, no, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And that's the Greek word doulos, which can be translated servant, but most often it's translated slave. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Here it is. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In the context, when he says, I'm going to make you free, free from what? In the context, free from sin. And he does not mean the guilt of sin. He is talking about not walking in sin. I'm just like my brother here who asked me the question. I've read those verses. I used to read them. I go, it seemed so, can I say ridiculous? I've certainly never walked free from sin. I don't know anybody that's walked free from sin. But Jesus said, if you follow me, you're not going to walk in sin. Well, this big John. Now, John had a lifetime of serving Jesus. He's recording here everything that Jesus said. He was a very young man. All of the apostles, I believe, were pretty young. They were about 20-ish, maybe 30-ish. But they were all fairly young. Now, after a lifetime of John, who was right there when this happened, after a lifetime, he writes 1 John later on in life. Now, he has got a lifetime of experience now. So go to 1 John now, chapter 1. And let's pick it up this time in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. See, John refuses to water down the message that he heard from Jesus. He's not going to water it down at all. He's going to leave it exactly where Jesus brought it. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What's the message, John? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I mean, none. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, let's just talk about the woman caught in adultery. Let's say that she does follow Jesus through the rest of his life. She's there when he's hung on the cross. She finds out about him being raised from the dead. And she hears the gospel and she gets born again. So let's just follow her all the way through. And now she's on the other side. And she has that light of life on the inside of her. She has the nature of God. She has this light that Jesus said, if you walk by it, you're not going to walk in darkness. But see, we're not going to look at it today, but in John chapter 3, he said the light came, but men love darkness more than they love the light. And what if she's free from sin, but she loves the feeling of that adultery? She loves not only the physical pleasure, it feeds her soul. It gives her something, makes her feel desired, you know, something. Whatever it is, it causes people to do stuff, wacky stuff in the soul, okay? But there's something in it that feeds her, and she keeps thinking about it and thinking about it. James says to be tempted is not sin, but eventually sin. She keeps thinking about it, and eventually she conceives in her, and she does it again. Well, if she just does it once, we're going to keep reading here. But let me warn you, if she falls into a lifestyle of it, notice how it's phrased, walk in darkness. That doesn't sound like a one-time occurrence to me. If she goes back to her old lifestyle of just walking in darkness, that's not a good place to be. Okay? And if you say you have fellowship, see, this is where me and the radical grace message, we part company real quick. If you tell me you're going to live in an adulterous lifestyle or fornication and you've got fellowship with God, either you or John is lying. And I'm saying it's you. I'm saying it's you. No, you don't either. Those goosebumps aren't from God. Even the Pharisees worshipped him in vain. Can you see the Pharisees worshiping him? They had good services, I bet. I bet there was music. I bet they had the best of the best, those Pharisees. Worship services. And here, I've tried to picture this, them worshiping God and in their heart. Well, anyway, and he says, in vain they do worship me. Okay, that's another message. Verse 6, 1 John 5, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light. Now, in context, what light? The light of life. This is why Nathan keeps going back to Romans chapter 2. It's they by nature do those things that are contained in the law. It's a new nature. It's a light. It's a life. When you got born again, a new spirit was created on the inside of you that has the very light and life of God in it. And in that light, there is no darkness at all. It's a perfect moral compass from the very day you get born again. I was as set free from smoking the day I was born again as I was 23 years later when I finally quit. Isn't that sad? How long can deception last? Long time. Long time. Thank God for a verse we're going to look at here in a minute. How many of you knows one of the attributes of God is he is long-suffering? Thank God for that. And now you know part of why I love the Lamb. Anyway. But if we walk... Now, so that verse again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, and that walk, not stumble, walk. I mean, this is your, that becomes your lifestyle. We're liars. We're just flat liars. And we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, well, in context, for that woman caught in adultery, how's she going to quit adulterating? She gets born again. She gets the light of life on the inside of her. Every thought that comes from that, you know, you either condemn or excuse. See, approve or excuse, however it says it. Every thought, every action. If you walk in that light, I think Nathan will use the word yield. If you yield to that nature on the inside, you're going to walk in the light. You're going to walk in the light. You're not going to sin. Even if they don't even have to preach the Ten Commandments to you. He wrote the commandments in you. If you don't know it's wrong to steal, go forward at the next altar call and get saved. No one has to tell you. If you're born again, you know it. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, anyway, you know what that means? You're going to see it again here in chapter 2. He spells that out a little bit. Even John understands. I mean, he's got a lifetime of serving the Lord. We're all pressing toward the mark. You know, even Paul said, I don't account myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm still pressing. That gives me hope. Hey, if Paul's still pressing, thank God there's hope for me to keep pressing. Amen? Okay? And so John is acknowledging here, if you stumble, it's one thing to stumble. It's another thing to walk in darkness. See? And he said, well, if you're doing your best, if you're walking in the light, as he's in the light, if you're doing your best, you stumble, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Okay? Let's keep going. Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he's talking about when you sin. That is the radical grace message. Exactly. They say that when you, what we call sin, they say that's already been paid for. It's not really even sin anymore. They literally have chapters saying Christians cannot sin. And when you read it, you think it's going to tell you how you're walking free from it. And they're going, no, while you're in it, you're not really sinning. Apparently, that doctrine was already around in the first century. Because that's exactly what John's writing here. If we say that we have no sin when you're sinning, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, acknowledge it. Hey, this is a family. What does any child do? What does every parent want when a child messes up? No parent looks forward to spanking their child or grounding their child, I hope. Or, you know, what you want is repentance. My dad always told me, as O.R. Carpenter, broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. I look a little bit like my dad in the face now. I didn't when I was younger. But I sure did not get his build. My dad was a man's man. He'd walk up to me and I'd feel like you all saw the eclipse. I saw the eclipse every time Dad walked up. Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. My dad's arms looked like Popeye. Y'all see Popeye's arms? He started out, his name was Carpenter, and he was a carpenter's helper back in the day before they had power saws. You made 2x6s out of 2x12s, and you did it with a handsaw. Mm-hmm. You didn't have no nail guns. You were the nail gun. He had 20-ounce hammers. I mean, from his elbow to his wrist looked like Popeye. He used to have a $100 standing bet with all the concrete truck drivers if they could bring a pair of wire pliers that he couldn't collapse. I mean, crush the handles. Make them. And I never saw him pay the $100. And I saw him bring some really big wire pliers. Now, what I'm telling you, my dad was imposing. And he'd walk up to me. I'm a little boy, maybe sixth grade, fifth grade. And I still remember it. He said, boy, if you do something wrong, you're going to get a whooping. If you lie to me about it, the whooping you get for lying going to be way worse than the whooping for whatever you did wrong. I tested him on that once. I found out my dad was a man true to his word. And anyway. But every parent wants you to come and confess. Be honest with me. Tell me what you did. And as soon as you do that, I mean, the fellowship's restored. You've usually got mom and dad's help to try and fix whatever you did wrong. I mean, you know, but you can't walk like you didn't do anything wrong. See? You violate that conscience. If you continue to do that, you'll sear your conscience. That's another lesson, but the Bible talks about a seared conscience. Boy, you don't want to get there. But even there, if you confess, and we're going to get to verse 9 here in a minute. If you confess and go to the blood again, it says he not only forgives you, when it says he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, you know what that really means? He makes your conscience tender again. You'll hear it again. Okay. All right. Verse 8 again. Well, we're down to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. You know why he's just? The Lamb. He's justified in forgiving you and cleansing you. Why? Jesus really did pay for it. He really did. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's justified in doing it because Jesus took the penalty for it. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's why we have that confession at Calling in the Lost. Because of the blood, what Jesus did for me, I have never failed God. Boy, when you come to God, I mean on your worst day, you did something bad, you can't believe you did it, you did it again. Don't run from the blood. You run to the blood. You confess it as sin. Repent. And it says He will wash you, forgive you, and cleanse you. And when you walk away, it is in the file records of heaven, if there's such a thing, the file cabinet. They'll pull your file and right on there it'll say, this person has never failed God. Whew. I love the Lamb. I love the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb of God. Thank God His blood is still on that mercy seat. I thank God I have a high priest who's looking over that blood. We're going to find out in a minute. If I really sin, I've got an advocate with the Father. And it's that same Lamb risen from the dead, seated there. And I've got a little bit of an in. His daddy is the judge. My daddy is the judge. That doesn't mean, but anyway, He loves me. Just put it that way. All right. Now, if we say that we have not sinned, when you have. Now, he's talking in context, when you have. If you say you haven't, that's radical grace, see. We make Him a liar and His word's just not in us. Now, let's go over into chapter 2 this time. There really shouldn't be a chapter heading. He's still got the same thought. Now, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery? Go and sin no more, or you could say sin not. Now, why is John saying, I'm writing this to you that you sin not? Well, because the message is the gospel that was brought to us by Jesus Himself. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I'm going to put that life of God in you. And in that life in you, there is no darkness at all. Walk in that light and you will sin not. These things write I unto you that you sin not. But now notice, John's not weird. John lived on planet Earth when he wrote this. And if any man sin. How many of you are glad those words are in your Bible right there? This is how Dave would rescue me the following week. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We don't use that word too much today. We have a lawyer. You know, lawyers can be very expensive. There's no lawyer on planet Earth that compares with the lawyer that you already have in heaven. You have a lawyer. When you sin and that nature in you is, you know, that conscience is just tearing you up. You don't even feel like you could pray anymore. You feel like, how did Dave say that? You feel like the snake that crawled under the dog and the snake had a top hat on. That's pretty low, isn't it? Can't even. Maybe it was a dog. Anyway, whatever it was. I like the image. You have a lawyer. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins. It's still talking about the blood. His blood on that mercy seat is the propitiation. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, hereby we do know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, here we go again, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments. Now, in the context today, His commandments include everything in the written word. But in the context of walking in the light, as He is in the light, like He said about that woman in adultery, if we're going to keep it in context, the commandments here to walk in the light are the commandments that come out of that new nature. It'll tell you, don't do that. That's a commandment. I'll be mean to Nathan today. When Nathan was going through his struggle with porn, he said it would rise right up in him. He knew. He'd say, you're a child of God. You don't do this anymore. Maybe I should pick on me. You're a child of God. You don't smoke anymore. You don't need nicotine. Man, I pushed that down. I wish I'd have known then what I know now. If I would have known then, I'll just be honest with you, raised in church, it's a sad thing to say, raised in church, the bar of the gospel had been so lowered, I honestly believed a lie. That's exactly what it says. I believed I was not free from sin. That's not the gospel that Jesus brought us. That's not the truth. I was free from sin the whole time. But my soul did not believe that. It did not agree with that. My soul had been trained all those years living in a fallen world and hearing false doctrine from pulpits telling me that I was not free from sin and that nobody could be free from sin and we're all still just sinners saved by grace. And that is not the gospel Jesus brought. The message is God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And that life now He has placed in you. And in you there is no darkness at all. You do not have to walk in sin. And if you stumble, if you do, don't run from the blood, run to it. And like any parent, He's quick to forgive and heal and even help you with whatever mess you made. I've given God so many lemons in my life, it's amazing how He's able to make lemonade out of those lemons. Grace to help in your time of need. It's amazing. But he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, for today's teaching, I'm going to say, he does not follow the promptings of the new nature. That's what he's talking about. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. See, in me, it means my soul was lying to me. My soul was a liar. And I want to say it another way. We've been in our fellowship. Listen, renewing of the mind is not just knowledge. It is knowledge. We're told over and over again, grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the knowledge of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But it's not just knowledge. Real renewal of the mind is when the mind begins yielding to the spirit. You remember the servants upon horses? Even with most Christians, now I just hate to say this, but it's the truth, myself included. Even with most Christians, the soul is still the one sitting in the saddle. The mind makes the decisions, has not yielded to the spirit. The spirit's like running alongside. This is a horrible thing. This is what Solomon saw in the spirit. I've seen a horrible thing. I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking. Well, the horse is the direction of your life. Who has the reins of it? Supposed to be the prince. Supposed to be that new man. Supposed to be the spirit up there in that saddle. And your soul has got to become the servant. Get down off of the horse. Become the servant that it was designed to be. And begin yielding to every instruction from the prince. And that's the spirit. That's the new man on the inside of you. That is a renewed mind that knows its place. Saul got it real quick. You got to love Saul. Two things he found out on the road to Damascus. Who he knew whoever it was Lord. Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus. Okay, got that. Second question. What would you have me do? Boy, there it is. That's the attitude of the mind. That's the attitude right there. Get down off the horse. I'm not running my life anymore. Lord, you're in the saddle now. What would you have me do? That's not just a ministry calling and that type of thing. It's also in regards to sin. If you take that same attitude, new nature, what do you say? Should we do this or not do this? Well, it's no. Don't go see that movie. No. Don't unbutton her blouse. No, don't have internet fingers. No. And sometimes the flesh is going to try and kill you. What I mean is it'll throw a fit. It'll caterwaul. It'll get your emotions involved. I remember when I was going through the withdrawals of smoking, I'm telling you, my body wanted it. I had trained my body to want it. I'll kill you. And I felt sad. I felt depressed. I felt everything. And plus the circle we was running in, everybody still smoked at the time. It was not easy. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, sometimes you got to suffer in the flesh. Finally got, it took a long time. Now I've been free from it for so many years. I can't believe I ever did it. You can train your flesh not to want things. Thank God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm running out of time. All right. Verse 4 again. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, verse 6. See, we only quote part of this verse most of the time. That you talk about raising the bar. See, John, this is a lifetime later. What he's about to say is the message that Jesus brought, none lowered. He is not going to lower the bar when it comes to the gospel that Jesus brought. Look at this. Verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought also, excuse me, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you walk as him, are you going to sin?
No.
I got one good no. If you walk like him, are you going to sin?
No.
Isn't that not the bar? Is that not what's being preached here right now? Now, if you sin, thank God, you've got an advocate with the Father. And the blood is still on the mercy seat. But for the love of God, let's leave the bar where Jesus put it and let's press toward it. Say it with me. I am in him.
I walk as he walked.
I talk as he talked. And I had the same results that he had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, one more. It would be great to go through the whole book. But let's jump over to chapter 4. Here's another verse that we quote all the time. And here's the bar again. See, John, after a lifetime, is not willing to lower the bar. See, if you're going to be a witness, you're not allowed to change the message. Isn't that right? If you're going to be his witness, if you're going to be his representative, let's say it this way. If you're going to be his ambassador, then you deliver his message, not your own. And here it is again, 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How many want to have boldness on the day of judgment? But now notice, because as he is, so are we when we get to heaven. That's what's preached. That's what's preached, and you know it is. Oh, Beulah land where all of our treasures lie, you know. We'll cross over Jordan into Canaan land. Oh, give me a break. You've already crossed over. You got born again. As he is. Say it with me. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've only got 15 minutes here. Now, I'm going to have to give kudos this one time to the Right Reverend, Most Holy, Bronk Flint in Immokalee, Florida. Bronk, if you're hearing this now, enjoy this. It's the first and only time you'll get credit for this. After today, this steak is mine. I do listen to Bronk. I listen to Jim Martin. I don't listen to many others, to be honest with you. I'm not saying not any, but I hear every message that comes from here, even if I'm gone. Iron sharpens iron. And we got a lot of good men pressing into this. And boy, sometimes you'll get a little nugget and they'll just say it in a way that it'll just, man, all of a sudden it just, revelation just explodes. I hardly heard anything. I don't know what else is on Bronk's message after he made this statement. He made this statement. He said, the life that's in you is a road-tested life. You'll see what I mean here in a minute, what he meant. As soon as he said that, A whole parable began exploding in my spirit, a little movie. All right? So here's the parable of the road-tested life. Y'all ready? Okay, before I even get into the parable, let me set it up a little. See, when you get saved, you don't know what all... You're just like Saul. Really, who are you? You know, what's the message to the sinner? Christ and Him crucified. I mean, you got to get born again. And you don't know a whole lot. You know you're supposed to repent and believe in the Lamb, confess your sins, ask Him into your heart, and He'll make you a new creature. I mean, if you know that much, you're ahead of a lot of people that get saved, okay? But you don't know much. But then once you get saved and you start getting into the Word and you start reading like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you start seeing Jesus, the life that's in Him, what we don't know at that beginning, the life that's in Him, the gospel is the life that we see in Him. That's the life God put in you. He that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light of life. The Father has given for the Son to have life in Himself, and the Son gives that life to whomsoever He will. Amen? So the life that the Father had, He put in the Son. When you got born again, He is your Adam. He put that life in you. You got that? So now, picture this. This little parable began unfolding in my mind. I'm a brand new believer. I've only been saved just a little bit. But I'm starting to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's not just words on a page. I come to that part where Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And I'm sitting in the grandstands. And it's like a coliseum almost from Roman times. And here comes this life that's in Jesus. And it's coming out to go to war against this other life. Death. Satan. And I'm in the grandstands. And in my little vision, I got popcorn. I got a big old soda pop. I'm not the only one, but there's not a whole lot of people. The grandstands are not full. But I'm watching this. This is the battle of the century. Here comes the Son of God against Satan the Destroyer. Okay? All right. So I was in the grandstands and we were watching our champion, Jesus Christ the Lord. He had come out to battle the God of this world, little g. Okay, Paul called Him the God of this world. He's come out to battle, little g, the God of this world. Satan has been spouting smack. You know what smack is? He's been spouting smack. You know, they had a big fight last night. But, anyway, these guys are spouting smack for months here against each other. But Satan's been spouting smack forever against mankind for thousands of years, telling them over and over again how he defeated the first man, Adam. He said, I defeated him. Didn't even take very long. I brought deception and temptation. He fell, and no man has ever successfully challenged me again. 100%, every man has sinned. Every man has fallen short of the glory of God. Now I hear there's this new man, this last Adam. I hear there's a second man, and I'm here to tell you, I will cause him to fall the same way I caused the first one to fall. Can you see it? Can you see it? My mind, pray for me. It was like a little movie all of a sudden, and I'm seeing our champion come into the arena, and here's Satan coming into the arena, and they're going to do battle. Now I watch as Jesus of Nazareth enters the arena. He was just recently baptized by John in the River Jordan. And at that time, there were witnesses who saw the Holy Spirit come upon Him. And there was a voice from heaven declaring, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I mean, God Himself announced from heaven, "This is the Son." If He says, "This is My Son," God in heaven was announcing, "This is the Son of God." And I had already read in my vision, I had already read over in Luke 3, verse 38, that Adam was also called the Son of God. Now we've got this one that God has declared. Now, this is My Son. This is the Son of God. And right there is where the devil challenges Him. Over and over, if thou be the Son of God. Now let me take a little break here. Because Dave, when he would teach on the temptation in the wilderness, he said, we're given three. He said, really, if you think that's all that was launched against Jesus, he said, this is a summary. We're given three to represent one for the flesh, make these stones bread, one for the soul, even taking him to the furthest stretches of the mind, trying to get him to commit suicide by jumping off the every damnable thing that ever came against a person's soul. And then finally in spirit, if you'll bow down and worship me. You see it? And that one, you notice what it was coupled with? The lust of other things. I'll give you all the kingdoms, all the riches of the world. Now you got to remember, Jesus was, he had a human body. He had flesh fallen all the way passed down from Adam. Don't think he wasn't tempted. He was tempted in all points like we are. And he was offered everything. Okay? And like Dave says, those three are a summary. But he says, everything that could ever be thrown against a human was thrown against the man, if you'll allow me, Jesus of Nazareth, trying to get him to fall the same way that the first one fell. Okay? So the warfare begins and we see Satan pulling out every weapon of deception and temptation that he has in his arsenal. He must defeat this second man, this last Adam, in order to continue his reign of terror against mankind. He defeated the first man, Adam, by getting him to disobey the word of God. Isn't that right? But every temptation that he throws at Jesus, they come to nothing because Jesus will not move away from the word of God. No matter how much temptation Satan throws, Jesus just continues to lift the shield of faith saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he refuses to do anything apart from the word of God. Got it? At that moment, I'm watching this. I said, my goodness, he's winning. This one, this champion, Jesus, there's something different in him than every other man that's been born. I'm thinking all this. Than it's ever been born since the fall of Adam. This man is winning. And I mean every temptation that can be thrown. And yet this man is winning. Now in my vision, suddenly, John walks up and sits right down next to me. I'm talking the Apostle John. He comes as apostle, you know, the apostles' doctrine. You could say teacher. Apostles also teach, do they not? All right. John comes and sits down to me and he says, are you aware? I said, it goes like, is this something or what? Are you seeing how Jesus is defeating Satan? I said, I'm eating munch, munch. I'm eating my popcorn, slurping my soda. This is amazing. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. I'm telling you. Wow, man. I wish I was like that. John says, as he is, so are you in this world. What? What you been smoking? What? I know who I am. Now see, this is the unrenewed soul. I know who I am. I'm not going to eat this bag of popcorn. I'm going back for the bucket later with extra butter. I don't care what my flesh thinks. See what I'm saying? You know? He says, no, no. The gospel is this, son. That very life that you see in the arena, defeating Satan every single time. That same life, identically the same life, is what you received when you got born again. This life has already been road tested, son. What you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus road testing the life. It's already been proven to be enough. It will defeat sin every time. It will defeat temptation every time. It will defeat sin every time. This life has been road tested, son. And that life is what you've got on the inside of you. Glory to God, Bronk. You couldn't see me, but I had a running fit when I heard that. Glory to God. I love it. I'm saying, of course you think, what? Is it okay? What you smoking? Because your mind is going to go, I know me. I know my pattern. I know all the people I've ever seen that call themselves Christians. I've never seen anybody like him. He said, well, we're not going to lower the bar for you, son. If you become his disciple, if you follow him, if you will sit and be taught by him, you're not going to walk in darkness either. He's made you free from sin. You just don't know it yet. But I can't lower the bar for you, son. Now, if you sin, have we been reading it? Now, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Don't run from him. Run to him. Confess your sin. Let your lawyer do his work. He'll take you right to the blood. His blood's still on the mercy seat. Confess your sin. He'll forgive you. Your Father will forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness like you never even did it. You'll be a son fully restored like you never failed him. Ready for battle again. Whew. This is the message that we have heard of him. In him, in God. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. That's the light of life he placed in you. The real you is life. And in that light of life, there is no darkness at all. And the truth of the gospel is we can walk free from sin. Amen. The life has been road tested. It has been tested way farther than you'll ever be tested. Amen. And it's already been proven. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sit in the grandstands for yourself. In another message, we're going to see when that life goes to war against sickness. You got the same life in you? And here's the next one. You got the same Holy Ghost that he was anointed with. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Father, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them. I'm sending them with the same life. I'm sending them with the same Holy Ghost. And the works that I do, shall you do also.